All right. Hey, guys, welcome today. If you are at one of our four locations or if you are joining us online, we are excited to have you. Before I dive into the sermon today, I want to point your attention to a booklet that is either on its way or already sitting in the mail at your house. I want to make sure you don't just take this and throw it away with all the other Christmas coupons that are coming, okay? So this is our annual report, and this year we kind of mailed it all the way out, make sure everybody can get it. Some of you guys are at home. Some of you are coming, passing everything out. We just decided, man, we're going to get it in the hands of everybody. Man, this is a booklet that we can really praise God over because it goes back and it looks at so many of the things that we have been able to see God do this year. I want to make sure that you guys kind of highlight this and celebrate it. I hope it's one of these things that you can grab and go through with your family and just praise God for what he has done, all right? We are a church that is all about making disciples and multiplying churches. Making disciples means make followers of Christ, so much so that the tribe becomes saturated with so many disciples that it spills over into sending that goes all around the country and then all over the world. And praise God, we've been able to see that already and is continuing to grow. So over the last year, y'all, with COVID and all of that, things have looked different this year. I know that. But one thing that has not changed is that God has been faithful to allow us to continue to see our mission advance as we are seeing things from all corners of the church and all the multiply lanes as disciples are being made. So hey, grab that book, man, go through it with your family. I'm going to put ours on our refrigerator. Maybe that's something you can do. Pray for the church during this season. Make sure your kids get a hold of it. Let them look through it. All right. I know that they are probably busy circling things in the Target magazine that they keep sending to our house over and over and over. That's probably what your kids might be doing. But man, let's slip something else in their hands and let them kind of get excited about what God has done through them, through you, through the local church. The church is not a building. The church is not an institution. All right. The church is a movement among people. It's God moving through you, and we have much to celebrate. So you guys be looking out for that. Hey, quickly, the second thing I want to do before I dive into the sermon is just throw a giant need out to the church. All the campuses, if you're at home and you're seeing this, okay, I want everybody to hear this. Y'all, like I said, we have been blessed to be a church that has sent a lot of people out. And when you're sending people out, that means some people are coming home and some people are leaving all the time. Well, COVID has kind of delayed some things and sped up some things for different people that are either about to get ready to go to the mission field or are coming home from the mission field. And there's a big need for us right now. And that is, if you have a place that some of our people, I'm talking about right here from Mercy Hill, mission families could stay maybe for a few months is probably all we're going to be looking for. But if you have something like that, maybe you have a rental house or something that maybe is in transition that you could donate some time in that, or maybe you have a basement that is kind of fully outfitted or a mother-in-law suite or something like that. Y'all, we have a need in that area for families with kids. Missionaries have a lot of kids, okay? I don't know if you knew that, all right? But they do. And so there's kind of needs. We do have single people that are going as well. If you have something that in your mind right now, you're like, man, we've been sitting on that and God can do something with that and this is it, I want you to email me directly, okay? aphopper@mercyhillchurch.com, okay? Email me and I will get you set up so that we can get them set up. We have some families right now. I hate to even have to mention this, but we have families right now that have gone from here but are in flux but are having to stay all over the country because we don't have a place. They want to be right here. They want to be with their local church that's sending them, and I want to make sure we put every foot forward we can to help send them well from here and keep them connected to the body that they're coming from before they go or when they come home, all right? So if you can help with that, man, please email me directly, all right? Let's dive in. If you have a copy of Scripture, turn with me to the book of Luke. We are in week two of Rediscovering Christmas. Through this series, y'all, we are looking at some of the powerful scriptures that shape our understanding of Christmas, okay? Because without the Bible and without Jesus Christ, Christmas culturally, as you have heard us talk about, is a fire through a television. What do we mean by that? We're kind of riding this illustration through the series. What it means is Christmas culturally can produce the feeling. It can produce some of the aura, okay? It can even look right. It even crackles, okay? I remember the first time I saw a fire coming through a television, our comms team had a big TV in their room a couple Christmases ago. They had a fire going, and everybody would walk up to it and put their hands up to it like this, you know? Like it's going to produce heat. It won't produce any heat, right? But it looks right. It kind of produces the feeling. Listen, without Christ, without the Bible, what we're left with is a Christmas that tries to produce the feeling without actually having the thing that can actually secure what it's all about. Glory, peace, joy, hope. We say these things and they engender feelings in us, but without Jesus and the Bible, y'all, we're kind of hoping for no reason. We have a feeling for no reason. Without Jesus and the Bible, we don't actually have the thing that delivers on hope and peace and joy and all of that, all right? So that's where you are. If you're new, we're week two of this. We're diving in. Let me give you the big idea today. We're going to tackle another one of those phrases. Last week, we looked at a son is given, peace on earth. Okay, you see that written everywhere? Today, we're talking about the glory of God. Glory to God in the highest. Here's the big idea. God is worthy of being glorified, okay? God is worthy of being glorified because he is glorious. All right, glorifying God, all that means, just by the way, a lot of people, maybe that's kind of churchy language, all that means is recognizing the glory of God. That's the manifest presence of God. All right, that's the weight that you feel when God is showing up in your life, all right? The glory of God, his greatness that we can actually perceive. When we recognize and praise that part of God, we are glorifying God. We are bringing glory to God. And what we are called to do, and we're going to see this today in Luke chapter 2, is that at Christmas, when the God of the universe breaks into our world and takes on flesh for us, man, it should cause us to bring glory to God. Here's the problem, all right? The problem in our society is this. If you don't bring glory to God, you will bring glory to something else. You are created to bring glory. You are created to glorify. You're created to praise. You're created to worship. And if you forget that God is the one that is to be glorified, we will replace it with something else. And Christmas is the time where this is on steroids in our culture, okay? Because what ends up happening is we know that we're supposed to grab for the transcendent. We know that we're supposed to be about something that's bigger than ourselves. We know that we're supposed to kind of fall down and stand in awe of something, but if it's not God, what it turns into is something silly like the magic of the season. You've heard that. It turns into something like, man, let's praise this all benevolent and kind of creepy supernatural kind of person that flies around the world, you know, Saint Nick and all of this. Hey, what it ends up looking like is let's reject all material and go after the spiritual, okay? But we don't say it like that. What we say it is like Christmas is about more, you know, than just the gifts and all that kind of stuff. I mentioned this the other day, the Grinch movie that came out like 20 years ago, you know, Cindy Lou Who, she asked the Grinch, what is the true meaning of Christmas? And he says, vengeance. All right. I thought that was pretty good. He's pretty jaded by the whole thing. But the whole movie, right? What it's about? It's about there's something out there that I can't quite put my finger on that I'm supposed to stand in awe over that's not physical. It's a spiritual reality. When we remove God, we will seek the transcendent, seek the beauty, seek the spiritual, seek the magic of the season. You see this in kind of the whole light shows that we go through. And I'm not dumping on any of this, y'all. I understand some of the cultural part of it. And it's part of our culture here. And some of it's fine. I'm not saying that. But when you remove God totally, you can really see that people are still grasping. I thought about this with the big Christmas tree in New York City. All right. We always watch like the Christmas tree lighting up there. I don't know if you guys saw it. This was the Christmas tree. When they first delivered it, it looked like a 30-foot Charlie Brown disaster. Some of you guys saw that. And they end up, I actually read about this. They go into that disaster of a tree and they fashion all these other limbs on it and try to fill it out. It's half fake and all that. Put the lights on it. Why? Because we want to stand under something that's bigger than ourselves. We want to stand under something that is supposed to project beauty of the light coming out of the darkness. Y'all, these things can produce feeling, but there is no heat behind them if we divorce them from the God who is supposed to be glorified during this season. Let's talk about glorifying God, glory to God in the highest. That's what we want to talk about today in our Rediscovering Christmas series, all right? Let's dive in. Here's what I want to do. I want to walk through about verse 8 through 14. I want to talk through it with you guys for a little bit, and then we're going to spend the last whole half of the message this weekend just kind of going after that idea of glory and the weight of God and what it should produce in our life. Here we go. Luke chapter 2. Let me show you. Verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. They were sore afraid, okay? And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. What a phrase. Good news, great joy, all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, this is kind of the verse we're going to chase, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased, all right? Now, this is one of the most famous of the Christmas passages, right? It's a Charlie Brown passage. It's kind of the one that we know a lot of times. Sometimes, you know, you see it in different areas or whatever. But this is one of those real famous, you know, the shepherds and all that kind of stuff. Well, here's the deal. Let me kind of back up, make sure we understand what's going on. Joseph and Mary, all right, they've had to go back to Bethlehem in order that they could register to be taxed. Some things never change, okay? And so they're going to that. Caesar Augustus has said this. I love the Caesar Augustus. He's actually still very relevant in our culture today because one of our staff guys who he's balding, but he actually told us, he said, no, he's not. He just is doing a new haircut that they call the Caesar Augustus. So it's still very relevant in our society. But anyway, Caesar, it makes everybody come back, and they're all going. Jesus is born in Bethlehem, fulfilling the prophecy from Micah, all right, fulfilling a bunch of prophecies, actually. I think it's interesting, you know, for me, my personal life, you may not be this way. Man, I know there's a God just because I can look outside, okay? That's kind of where I'm at. But that doesn't point me to the Christian God. Many times the prophecies in Scripture point me to this God. Being born in Bethlehem was something that was foretold long ago, born in a manger, presented to the shepherds. This is our God, and this is what we end up getting into today, all right? Now, here's the thing that I want you guys to see, and I want to go into Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and just kind of start walking through this whole thing again. Here's what the scripture says. In the same region, there were shepherds that were out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, why do I pause on that? I pause on that for two reasons, okay? The first one is this. Jesus was not born in a palace. He was born in a manger, and he didn't come to the power brokers that were in Israel. He came to the shepherds that were out in a field that were just trying to make it. And by that, we can get this. The birth announcement sets up the message that Jesus Christ has come for all people, all right? I don't know if you guys have seen, and I'm not endorsing it or anything. I have not even watched the whole thing, but I've seen some of the clips of it. There's a YouTube series called The Chosen. All right, it's kind of a Christian rendition of some of the Gospels. They have this little snippet in The Chosen. It was kind of a preview of the whole thing where it's this Christmas idea and the shepherds are out. And you really get a good kind of mental image of what it was like to be a shepherd back then. There was kind of a little bit of an outcast, a little bit of derision. We don't just get that from history. You think of the story of David. Why aren't you out in the shepherd, you know, out in the field with those few sheep? And he can't be the king. He's out being a shepherd. There's just this kind of, man, they're just kind of the outcast, and all of a sudden, the God of the universe breaks into human history, probably, if not the greatest event in human history, and he comes not in a palace. He's born, and he's laid in a manger where there's no room for them, and he comes to shepherds, not the power brokers that are there. Y'all, I just want to say this, and then we got to move on. Jesus Christ did not come only for the people that got it all together. He didn't come just for the wealthy. He didn't come just for the people that don't have any problems in their life. All right, this message is set up for us to realize that Jesus has come for all. Now, the angel's going to actually say that, too. He's going to say, for all people, good news, great joy, for all. But I want you guys to hear today, man, broken families, the prisoners, those in poverty, students that are falling way behind or maybe even falling out because of the pandemic, people who thought they would never have to be in a food line at a food bank on a holiday. Y'all, these are the people that Jesus Christ has come for. Born in a manger, presented to shepherds, this is our God. This is how he shows up in the world, all right? Second thing that I want you guys to see in this passage quickly here about the shepherds, we just cannot gloss over this, is the fear that grips them that would have gripped all of us. We have this touched by an angel, little kind of Christmas tree angel idea of an angel. No. When the angels show up and the glory of God shows up in Scripture, people are afraid. There is fear. Why? When God shows up, our natural emotion is fear. Why? Because when God shows up, that's when we know the gig is up. When God shows up, that's when we know, man, there was a bunch of stuff I was supposed to be about in my life. There was a bunch of stuff I was supposed to do. But when God shows up, there is fear because I know, man, there's things that were left undone. There are things that I have failed in. I thought about this. Just quick illustration. I thought about this when I was a kid, probably fifth or sixth grade. A lot of times it was my job. My dad would leave for work, and during the summer, he'd be like, hey, man, I want you to cut the grass. All right, now we have one of those snapper riding lawnmowers, if any of you guys remember these, bicycle handlebars. Okay, am I talking to anybody? About 19-inch cut. Okay, and you got to cut 3 acres. All right, so, you know, cut the grass when I leave is not the little push mower, you know, for 30 minutes. I mean, this is an all-day deal. And I'm in fifth or sixth grade, and so I'd be out there for a couple hours cutting, and then you know, I'd take myself a little break and just go see what my buddies are doing in the neighborhood, and that would turn into a football game that turned into hanging out for lunch, and then all of a sudden I got to go cut the grass, and so I go home and I cut a little more, and then that turns into, I'm going to get some water, and that turns into sitting and watching TV for 2 hours or whatever, and now all of a sudden, it's like my dad is coming down the driveway, and he's heading to the house, and all of a sudden, if you've ever been in a situation like that, there's a fear. Normally, he comes down the driveway, it's fun. It's like, hey, he's home. You know, we're going to throw the ball. We're going to do whatever. But now there's a fear. Why? Because I know I didn't do something. Because I know there were things that were left undone. Because I know that I have failed and I was supposed to do this and I didn't. When the glory of God shows up, when the angels show up, when the glory of God is shining around them, that's when we know that the gig is up. You see this throughout the Bible. Adam and Eve hid from God, right? But that was after they sinned. They knew something was going on. When God shows up and all of a sudden Moses is standing by the burning bush, what does he do? He hides his face. When Belshazzar, God shows up, starts writing on the wall, what happens? His knees, the Bible say, literally are knocking together. It's kind of that Isaiah moment when God shows up and you realize, man, I am undone. That's what the shepherds are feeling at this moment. Man, they're sitting under the glory of God. This message is about to be proclaimed to them, and they know, man, I have left things undone. Let me just ask you a question that I hope maybe will get in your heart, maybe will unsettle some of us today. Hey, what is your emotion going to be in that final moment when the glory of God is shining and you are standing there? What will that emotion be? There will come a day when the playwright walks onto the stage. And when the playwright walks onto the stage, that means the final curtain is about to fall. What will your emotion be that day? Well, only because of the gospel and only because of the message that we're about to get into here, that fear that we all have can actually be turned into peace because the angels have a message. Look what they say. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold." Okay, stop fearing because there's something that you need to behold. You need to watch. You need to stare deeply. Behold is not just, hey, look. Okay, behold is like you need to get a grip on what I'm about to say. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Unto you this day is born this day in the city of David. A Savior who is Christ the Lord, Savior Christ and Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. Y'all, there is so much that we could unpack. We could preach on this every Christmas, and undoubtedly probably some of it comes up every Christmas. But what we've got to see here is just the glory of the message for just a minute, all right? Because what they are saying is, hey, Christ Savior, the Lord, he has been born, and he has been born into your very human form. You know what that means? It means that the God of this universe was laying in a manger, and he could not even raise his wobbly head. And it's an incredible thing. It may be unparalleled in all of human history. The angel says, this is good news, not of some joy or a lot of joy. This is good news of great joy, not for some people or a lot of people. Good news, great joy, and it is for all people. Unto you is born this day, the Christ, the Savior, the Lord. And it is good news, all right? It's good news for all. Why is it good news for all? It's because all of us have that sneaking feeling of dad is driving up the driveway and I didn't cut the grass. Except we have it on a cosmic scale. You and I both understand the wickedness of our own heart. We understand the failures that we have had in our life. And when we begin to understand that, all of a sudden when the glory of God shines in, there is a fear in us. This is good news because what the Bible is getting us to see, what the angels are saying, this message is that even though the logical thing for all of us to have when God is there is fear, we don't have to have fear. We can have peace because of the gospel. We can actually have a relationship with God because of the gospel. Yes, there was a chasm that we could never cross. Yes, God is holy and sinful. People are never going to stand in his presence. But because of what this baby would do, because God is in the flesh, because the blood of bulls and rams would never atone for sin, but God comes in the flesh so that he could die for the sin of the world. Now all of a sudden, this is the good news, y'all. Man could never get to God, so God came to man. God came to us, and he's breaking through. It sounds so much much like Isaiah chapter 7, right? Emmanuel, God is with us. He is not out there to be feared. He is here, and he has come to make peace with us. One preacher said it like this: the swaddling clothes that wrapped Jesus were a peace treaty signed. He was coming to make peace with us, and this is the declaration. This baby has come. I mean, he has come into your life to put back together what was broken by sin. And then, because he is here, because of what he is going to do, because he's not going to stay in a manger, but one day he's going to go to a cross. One day he's going to be in another cave. One day he's going to resurrect. One day he's going to invite us all into his family. Because of that, I mean, the angels break out into a song, verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. They were praising God. They were saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased, all right? There is so much that is here, and I don't just want to gloss over this part, so I'm just going to mention it, but I want to talk about glory, okay? We're going to get into glory. That's going to be the whole back half of this sermon, but before I do that, let me just say this, all right? Pastor Bobby and Pastor Jason, they preached an incredible sermon last week on this idea of peace with God, and I don't want to re-preach that, but I do just want to kind of mention it again because it's here in this passage. I think the sermon last week, and I think what's going on here is that the idea is that we will never have peace this way, horizontally, until we maintain and gain peace this way. What the Bible says is that we were enemies of God. Ephesians 2 tells us that. We were far from God, all right? The book of Romans talks about there is enmity between you and God. Because of our sin, we will never, left to ourselves, have any other feeling about God than he's coming in the driveway and I didn't do something. I will run away. And eventually, if nothing takes care of that, one day we will stand before his presence and be cast out because sinful humanity is never going to enter into his family. We're in a dire situation. But what these angels are saying is that because of Jesus Christ coming into the world and what he will do on the cross, what he will do in his resurrection, we can have peace with God. You know, one thing I want to say about this, and then I'm going to move into glory and talk about that the rest of the time, is this. I see a world, especially at Christmas time, that is clamoring for peace. We are clamoring for peace worldwide. Man, we clamor for peace in our homes. We clamor for peace relationally with each other. And what ends up happening is if we miss this idea that peace has to be this way before it's this way, then what ends up happening? Very smart people from antiquity all the way to now, they construct massive philosophies and social norms in order to try to extract peace that will never be had. I'm not saying we don't work for peace. I'm not saying we don't work to try to see these things. Of course, we do. That's why we do No More Spectators. But we do it of signs of a kingdom and a king that will ultimately bring peace, not because we think peace can be found in social norms and philosophies. I know there's a lot of problems in this world. The opposite of peace is conflict. Man, there's problems all over this world. But one of the things I see in our culture right now is that many times we see a problem and we think it is the problem. And when we see a problem and think it is the problem, we end up trying to create philosophies and social norms that take care of something that ain't never gonna get fixed that way. I've told you guys before, when I was in high school, I broke my thumb in a football game. And when I broke my thumb, the trainer comes over and he says, man, it's not broken. Just go home, ice it, ibuprofen. Well, I did that for a week and it still hurt really, really bad. You know why? Because ibuprofen and ice don't fix a broken thumb. They can slap some Band-Aids on it. They can make it feel a little bit better. But the problem is, if we don't diagnose what's going on rightly, we will never get to a proper solution. And that's what we have seen. Whatever it is, I'm not saying they're not problems. When you think of classism, sexism, poverty, lack of education, racism, I'm not saying they're not problems. Obviously, they're problems. But if we don't realize that the ultimate answer to these things is peace this way, before we can get to peace this way, then we will continue to chase our tails. We will continue to buy into philosophies and social norms that promise a fix only to be proven every single time to fail. Till we learn this, we will never get this. That's peace, all right? Love the sermon last week. I don't have time to go into it more than that. What I want to talk about now for the rest of my time is this idea of glory. Glory to God in the highest. Here's the application. All of our campuses, if you're at home, here's the application. Write this down. Bring glory to God this Christmas, okay? The message is so grand, and God is so great, he is worthy of being glorified. of recognizing that manifest presence, recognizing that attribute, that weight of his that we can perceive. He is worthy of us seeing it and then returning our recognition and praise of it. And that is what glorifying God is. All this series will focus on these little catchphrases. I mentioned that earlier, peace on earth and sun is given. Man, glory to God. Y'all, if we don't glorify God, we will find ourselves glorifying something else. And that's exactly what our culture is doing. Man, we want to grab at the transcendent. We want to talk about the true meaning of Christmas. We want to reject the material because we want to get to something that is spiritual. We want the transcendent. We want to stand in awe of something. Why? Because we are built that way. But if we don't understand that we are built that way to direct all of those things toward God because of who he is and because what he has done, then we will be left in a desperate situation, clinging to Christmas stories and magic of the season and all of these other things that are about an inch deep that promise a feeling but don't have the power to actually deliver on the things that they say. I don't know if you feel it, all right? I feel it in our culture. Our culture is desperately trying to find something to glorify. Man, we want to find something to stand in awe over. We want to be blown away because we were built to be blown away by God. But if we're not blown away by God, who he is and what he has done, we will fall for being blown away over something else, all right? Man, these shepherds were blown away. Now, I know what you're going to think, okay, because I've thought this as well. You've thought, man, if God shows up, his glory, his angels, I'll be blown away too, all right? I know that's what many of us think. But there's a sneaky part of this that we got to realize. Is that when the shepherds leave this, and I'm not going to get all the way into it, but when the shepherds leave this, they start telling everybody about what they saw, and they start giving glory to God. You know, one pastor said it like this, you realize pretty much Christianity from them all the way down, okay, you know, the shepherds got an angel, but everybody else just gets a shepherd. It's just the message that we get. Oh, but it's enough because we even have a more crystal clear message than they had, all right? The message goes forth and the message is what they praise over. I know that many of us think, man, the angels and the glory of God and all that, I'm sure it was impactful. But look at what verse 20 says. And the shepherds returned glorifying God, praising God, listen, for all they had heard. Of course, for what they had seen. I understand. But if they would have seen this and it would have been a different message, what if they had seen what they saw, but the message is, man, you're done. The message is, hey man, the gig's up. The message is, there is no peace to be had. Live it up while you can. If that was the message, they would not have had the reaction that they had. Y'all, it was the message itself that brings out their praise and their glorifying of God. And that's the message that I stand before you here to say this weekend, whether you're here, whether you're at a campus, whether you're at home today. Y'all, that message boiled all the way down is really as simple as this. While there should be fear because of our sin, there can be peace because of Jesus Christ. There can be peace with God. In our sin, we don't deserve peace. But Jesus Christ came as a human to die as a human. The book of Hebrews says that the blood of bulls and rams would never atone, but Jesus Christ stepped into our shoes. We sinned and deserved death. Jesus Christ came to live life for us. He never sinned, but at the end of his life, he took death on a cross so that in his resurrection, we could have the fullness of life. We could be brought back in. Sure, the angels were great and all of that, but it's the message. It's the same message that I say to you today. I think we should praise in greater ways. Think about this. You know, the angels, the angels are looking at a God who they understand abounds in grace and mercy. Man, he's showing off the riches of his grace and mercy. But you know what? You and I have received his grace and mercy. How much greater should our praise be? I think about the shepherds in this passage that go around glorifying God. Y'all, they understood God was doing something. We live on this side of the cross. We see exactly what he was doing to make peace with humanity. And that is what we can praise God over today, all right? Hey, let me talk to those of you who are just, man, you're on the fence, okay? Maybe you've been watching. You've never stepped foot inside of a Mercy Hill facility. You're just kind of on the fringe. Maybe you're here today at one of our campuses and you're trying to figure this whole thing out. Let me talk to you, then I'll talk to the believers, and then I'm done, all right? If I'm gonna talk to those of you who are just trying to figure this out, listen, don't waste the holidays standing in awe over nothing. Christmas is designed to make us culturally feel good for no reason. All right, it's a fire through a television. Don't fall for it. Realize that there is a God who is supposed to be there to match what is in you to want to grab for the transcendent. To want to grab for something that is worth glorifying, there is a God. He is worth it, and what he has done for us is worth it. You know, Christians are all the time saying, keep Christ in Christmas, but for some of you today, man, Christ needs to come into you. Christ needs to come into you today. You're a sinner. You're far from God. The message is, man, God is offering you the chance. Man, confess your sin. Believe in Jesus Christ. Come into his family. It is the greatest gift we can ever have. I heard a preacher talking about this, and he said, man, he was talking to one of his kids, and we all have to do this with our kids. This kid kept asking him, what am I getting for Christmas? What am I getting for Christmas? And finally, his dad said, hey, bud, you know, Christmas is about giving. It's not about getting. And the kid was like, Dad, got it. But 5 minutes later, he walked up to his dad, and he's like, Dad, what are you going to give me for Christmas, you know? And I thought that was great. That's just like a kid, you know? Hey, the great, what are we going to get? What is God giving to us? Man, he's giving us the greatest gift. We sung about it in our service, man. The promise is sure. What God is giving us is an eternal place in his kingdom forever where we can worship and obey him, live in his sight forever. Man, the gift is Jesus Christ. I pray that you will accept it today. You know, there's a part of this verse that says, in part of the passage that says, the angel said, unto you this day is born. Jesus could be born 1,000 times in Bethlehem, but in what real way was he born for you? Have you taken it in? Have you accepted this gift into your life? I pray that you will this Christmas season. And for the believer, let me just say this. Man, what I want to push us to today is to stand in awe. Praise God. Man, glorify him. Don't get distracted with the other things that we could get caught up glorifying. Let's glorify God over this Christmas season, okay? I think about it like this. You know, the idea of glory, actually that verse and that word, glory, that word means weight. Maybe you've heard this explained before. That God's glory is weighty. It displaces everything else in your life. The best analogy I can think about this is any of y'all who tried to fry a turkey, okay, this Thanksgiving. I don't know if you did or not, but me and Pastor Bobby did, and it was good, except we made the classic mistake. We heated the oil way too fast, and then we're sitting there for like 2 hours trying to get the heat to come down. And then he has the great idea to throw some water on it. About blows both of our eyebrows off. Okay, he's a doctor, but he ain't a scientist. That's what I told him. All right? So I don't know if you guys have ever done this. Hey, but what's the trick to frying a turkey? You got to make sure you don't have so much oil in there that when the bird goes down, the oil comes over, because then that catches the flame in the propane tank, and it's a bad, bad Thanksgiving. Okay? That's what happens. All right? So everybody understands this. Man, when this weighs a lot and it goes in, everything else comes out. Everything else rises. This is the idea of God's glory in your life. This isn't really the point of this text, but I want to say this. For some of you, the glory of God needs to displace something that's really dark in your life right now. A circumstance. Man, I was praising this today when we're praising. Man, I just want to say thank you, because there's things in our lives, all of our lives, that we need to kind of reorient and thank God, because, man, we might be in a little bit of a dark place. We might be in a little bit of a darker, sad. I don't know what's going on in your life. We all have probably something like that that's going on, all right? Man, the glory of God needs to display. I'm not saying it's not sad. I'm not saying whatever's going on in your life isn't hard. But what I'm saying is there's nothing so bad that it's heavier than the glory of God. But I think the real point here that I want to get to for the believer, all right, is that many times in our lives, believer, I know many of you, and I know we've all got stuff going on, but listen, if we're just honest, man, a lot of you, life is going pretty well. And the danger in life going pretty well is that you begin to think that the blessings of God weigh more than God. That the weight of the glory of God isn't as much. That the gifts are better than the giver. And I just want to call you away from that today. Man, if your family's going well, hey, if you have ended this year, I know so many people that thought at the beginning of this year, man, I'm not sure I'm going to even have a job, and then they ended up hitting more sales numbers, or markets ended up different. And it's like, man, I thought I wasn't even going to be working, and now I've had kind of a bumper year. Man, if that's you, are you overflowing in generosity? You know, if that's where you are you trusting in those things? Are you so happy about those things, or are you realizing, man, all of that is a gift from his hand? But it is not heavier than the glory of God. Maybe your family's well. Maybe you can't wait to see all of them. Maybe things are going well at work. Maybe your health is better than it's been this year. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's a gift from God. It's not heavier. Whether it's good or bad, it ain't heavier than the glory of God today. All right, so let's make sure that we realize and grab onto now this idea. Let's glorify God, because he is the one who is worthy. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you today. God, we thank you for what you have done in our lives. God, we thank you that you broke through from heaven all the way to earth. God, we thank you that you stepped into our shoes. And God, we just want to say thank you, and we want to bring you the glory that you absolutely deserve. God, I pray that you will be glorified in our lives as we recognize that manifest presence, as we give you the weight that you are due. In Christ's name we pray, amen. It's like that old song, to God be the glory, great things he has done.